Hey there, I'm Sandy Scarlatta, and welcome to the Happiness Solve podcast. Twice a week, we explore the journey to finding true happiness by sharing inspiring stories, practical tips, and insightful conversations with some of today's leading experts. But we don't just scratch the surface. We dive deep into the real grit of what it takes to live a genuinely happy life. Whether you're looking to improve your well-being, enhance your relationships, or simply add more joy to your life, you're in the right place. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's episode. Because happiness is a choice, and the choice is yours. Rhonda Crabtree, such a pleasure to have you on today. How's everything going in your neck of the woods?
Very well. It's just raining outside. So.
Well, good for you, because most of the country is in a drought right now. Yeah. So. Especially where I live, yeah, we definitely could use some water. So for the audience, Rhonda is one of the top family and divorce attorneys in the country who's based just out of Nashville, Tennessee, and she's been practicing over 20 years. But prior to that, you worked in the mental health space. So curious to find out a little bit about how those two worlds kind of come together. But can you tell us about how you got to where you are today and why a divorce attorney?
Well, I didn't initially intend to become a divorce attorney. I enjoyed working in mental health. I liked being able to advocate for my clients and do such, but I realized that working in mental health didn't really pay the bills, so I decided to go to law school. I feel like I use the same skills I used in mental health as a lawyer today.
Oh, okay. So how did you find going from mental health to being a lawyer, and specifically divorce law? Did it help you? Or was it kind of like, okay, I don't want to be a therapist anymore. I don't want to, but I just want to, you know, get them through a divorce, right? Like, did it hurt you, or was it an easy transition?
Some days it helps to have those skills. Well, most days it helps to have those skills because I understand that people are going through a difficult time in their lives, whether they have a mental health issue or not, or drug and alcohol issue. If they've got a mental health issue, then it exacerbates the issues that we have in the divorce. And it helps me to understand that. But it also helps me to know that when somebody's going through the divorce, I tell them, some days you'll only remember the good times, some days you'll only remember the bad times, and therefore you have to remember where you're at in making the decisions in your divorce and not make them rashly.
Well, that's the hard part, right, for most people, especially when it comes down to money, right?
Yes.
I mean, I would imagine just from... You know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm on my second marriage, and most everybody that I know, with the exception of, you know, a small handful of my girlfriends, have already gone through a divorce and in many cases are remarried. And I do know that most of the issues that cause the tumultuous situations within a divorce is because of money.
Oh, yes. Money is a very big issue. And everybody has to consider it, because I often have people wanting to come in and I call it cut your losses and move on. But they don't think about how that's going to affect them in the future. You know, if you're 40 years old, you're not starting out as a 18, 20, 25 year old person. You're going to have to plan for retirement. And if you give up all of your assets in a divorce at 40, 50, 60 years old, then you will have nothing to help you.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, on the flip side of that, I also know people who stay in marriages because they can't afford to get divorced. And that's kind of sad too, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, everyone. Today, I'm thrilled to share something truly special with you. Have you ever felt like you're just scratching the surface of your potential? Or maybe you're looking for ways to bring more balance and fulfillment into your life. If that resonates with you, then I have an event you won't want to miss. Introducing the Holistic Life Mastery event live and in person November 7th through 9th at the beautiful La Quinta Hotel outside of Palm Springs, California. This isn't just another seminar. It's a transformative experience designed to help you unlock your full potential, cultivate a holistic approach to life, and achieve mastery in every area that matters to you. Imagine spending 2.5 days surrounded by like-minded individuals, all committed to personal growth and conscious living. You'll have the opportunity to learn from world-renowned speakers, engage in powerful workshops, and gain practical tools that you can apply immediately to your life. Plus, our keynote speaker is Emmy Award-winning producer, actor, and author of The Way of the Cobra, Sean Kanan. You may have seen him in the number one Netflix series, Cobra Kai. Whether you're looking to enhance your personal well-being, improve your professional skills, or find more joy and purpose, the Holistic Life Mastery event has something for everyone. Our speakers are leaders in their fields, covering topics from peak performance and mindfulness to business psychology to relationships. And the best part, this event is designed to cater to all aspects of your life. It's about creating holistic balance, mind, body, and spirit. You'll leave feeling inspired, empowered, and ready to take on the world with a renewed sense of purpose with a plan of action. So mark your calendars and join us for an unforgettable experience. You'll find the registration link in the show notes. Don't wait. Spaces are limited and filling up fast. Remember, this is your chance to invest in yourself and your future. The Holistic Life Mastery event is more than just a workshop. It's a stepping stone to the life you've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I see that.
Yeah. Because, oh my gosh, it is expensive to get to go through a divorce. And I know, I remember hearing people say, oh, you're going through a divorce. Just be prepared. Your credit is going to get ruined. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, right. Because sometimes people try to punish the other side and they want right. to say, I'm not going to pay the bills so that you will get dinged for it. Yeah.
Well, and in my situation, that wasn't the case initially, right? But what ended up happening down the road was after I was divorced and the divorce was final, my ex-husband got into some trouble. And long story short, we had a house that went into foreclosure.
Oh, no. That does happen.
And even though in the divorce decree, he was 100% responsible for paying the mortgage, because of the real estate industry, I was unable, we couldn't refinance to take me off the mortgage, right? Because the house was technically underwater. Right. Meaning
I understand
we owed more than it could get. I know, you know, but I'm just for the audience sake, we owed more than what it would appraise at. And so even though, you know, it went through the foreclosure and I hired a lawyer and petitioned the bank and I'll say it, you know, Wells Fargo, they could care less. They didn't care. They didn't care that, you know, the circumstances, they refused. And I didn't even say, take me off the mortgage. I said, can you just fix my credit? Because you can do that. You have the power to take that mark off of my credit report.
Yes.
And they refused to do it.
They did.
Yep. And so here I thought I was scot-free, right? And all of a sudden, my credit was horrible for a solid 7 years. And it wasn't even anything that I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Now in Tennessee, we have to include in our divorces, whether it's a grieved divorce or a contested divorce, a paragraph that says that just because this paragraph or this document says the other person is responsible does not mean that you don't still owe that debt and does not mean that it cannot affect you.
Yeah. And see, in my situation, I didn't even make close to the amount of money to cover this mortgage. There was no possible way that I could have paid for that mortgage. And so, yeah, right. Hindsight's 20/20. Now, you know, whatever. It's been so long. It doesn't matter. It's all a moot point. So let's go back to, you know, you have a client come in. There's going to be emotional challenges. How do you help them stay focused on trying to get past this so that they can build a happier future for themselves.
I discuss with them that the fact is that this is like a car sale. Whether we want it to be or not, we have to think about the end goal, and we have to take the emotions out of it, and we have to deal with the objects we have and the children we have and things like that. I refer people sometimes to counselors. You know, they need to work through the emotional side of the divorce, because otherwise, if they can't get past the emotional, they may have an emotional tie to a car or a house or something, that we have to break that emotional tie before they can move on and deal with the divorce.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I get it, that people are unable to move past the material objects. And at the same time, it's just a material object. But is it the material object that they can't get past, or is it their ego is still deflated because their spouse wants to divorce them?
Well, I think it's actually that we lose our future hopes. All of us have dreams of what tomorrow is going to look like, what the next 10 years is going to look like. And all of a sudden, those hopes and dreams are gone. And so we start attaching it to things. And when those things are leaving us, then we have an issue and we can't deal with it.
Oh, yeah. And as you were saying that, I was just almost laughing because I just came through that. In my personal life, not with a divorce, but in a situation where, you know what, folks, life happens while we're busy making other plans, right?
Yeah.
And I know for me personally, I had put so many eggs in one basket, so to speak, right? And it didn't happen, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, you have to do a course correct. And this is, I am leading up to another question, Rhonda, if you're wondering, like, where is she going with this? I'm on a tangent. But for me personally, and this was not nearly like the situation that I went just recently experienced is nothing compared to a divorce, right? Like these are apples and oranges. I'm not comparing my situation to going through a divorce because it's not comparable. But my point is that sometimes things like that happen. And if we don't recognize the power that we are giving to that situation, right? If you're giving your power away, you can really cause yourself a lot of physical hardship, really. I know for me personally, there was a few days where I had trouble getting out of bed.
Right.
There was times when it threw my confidence out of whack. And I didn't necessarily have the confidence that I normally would have. So how do you help people so that they can still hold on to their power and not let the stress, the anxiety, the uncertainty of going through a divorce hurt them physically?
Well, a big part of it is to tell them they have choices and let them know what the laws that are on their side. For example, people will come in and we'll have a man come in and he has the wife that says, well, I'm going to take the house and you're going to have to pay me alimony forever. And he comes in convinced that his life is over. And then I explain, as far as Tennessee laws, that she doesn't necessarily get the house, that he has an equal right to that house. He has an equal right to other assets. And it's not just that she automatically gets everything. Because, I mean, that's the old scenario. The wife gets the house and the kids and the money, and they believe that. Or, you know, the men that it will say, you're going to divorce, you might as well just give her the house. Well, that's not necessarily true. She may wind up with the house, but you get bought out because the male still has a right to his assets. Or a female, if we've got a marriage between a wife and a wife. But the issue is that one party isn't going to walk away with nothing unless they didn't contribute anything. And And then we have to look at that. And of course, contribution doesn't mean dollar for dollar. It could be that they contributed being a house parent or a housewife or whatever was necessary for that family. And so by telling them that they still have choices, they still have rights, they still have options, that their future isn't just gone for them, I think that helps them to be able to move through the divorce.
Yeah, for sure. Well, because what you're doing then is you're helping them to understand the legal process of divorce, and therefore that will help reduce their stress and anxiety. Yeah. So what do you think people misunderstand most about the divorce process, and how can clarity help them move forward with more confidence?
What they misunderstand, for one, they don't realize how long it takes. Everybody wants the justice system to be quick. And so they have to understand it's not a quick process. It's a slow process. We don't have judges all the time. The judges get busy. They get full dockets. And when we go in there before them, they need to realize the judge is hearing multiple people's cases. And we have to make sure that we prepare the lawyer for what's going to happen so that the lawyer isn't blindsided. But also they need to be prepared to sit in court. You know, I mean, it's not comfortable to sit there. So to have their confidence, they need to prepare themselves. And it's often, I have lots of clients that will keep journals. I often give people a notebook and said, here, keep a diary of everything that happens because I need to know it. And you're going to forget to tell me. So please write it down for me so that we both have a reminder of what's been going on.
Are there any surprising lessons that you've heard about that people discover about themselves through the process of divorce?
I think the thing that I find that people are most surprised about is that they can make it without the other person. I have males and females that are so attached to the other person that they think their life is over. And they are shocked to find out, hey, I can do this on my own. I don't have to have them.
Yeah, for sure. So what piece of advice can you give to someone that's looking to reclaim their happiness after the end of such a significant relationship?
I encourage them to make plans, you know, to get activities, to find other friendships. It doesn't have to be another mate. It can be just other people to do things with, whether, you know, it's going walking with friends or joining a gym and getting friends that way. Or in Tennessee, there's Facebook groups for women. And I don't know about for men, but I'm sure there is that too. Well, men, you know, they have buddies they can go watch football with if that's their thing, or go golfing with, or any activities. I encourage them to find things that they enjoy doing and find people that have like interests so they can realize that life can be full without a mate there with you.
Yeah, I think there's so many people that I know, I can think of multiple ones right now, that don't know how to be alone, right? And that's the biggest thing is that fear of being alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's finding, it's no different than a spouse passing away. You know, you've got to fill your time until you heal, and you can fill your time in whatever interests you or just talking to other people with life. But you've got to move on from, a lot of people will focus, whether it be on a death of a spouse or a divorce, with people that are going through a divorce or people going through a death. And you eventually have to pull away from those type people because you've got to get in the mindset of a healed person, not constantly reliving that issue.
Yeah. And that's, you know, why a lot of people are unhappy in this world, right? Because they keep reliving the past and going over it. And again, just to use the example that I talked about earlier with my own personal situation, it's like you give your power away. And many times we do that, especially in a marriage, because, you know, whether you're spiritual, religious, or you know, whatever the case may be, right? You make that massive commitment. I mean, most people will never make such a big commitment in their life, right? Than to be with this other person. And there, in many ways, you are giving your power away. But being able to recognize what it is, you know, what it is, and being able to just maintain your sense of self through the process. And I know that's a long way of saying, you know, take care of yourself, folks, if you're going through this.
Well, I think a lot of people don't know who their self is. They're a mother, they're a spouse, but they forget that they are, and they're an employee, but they also forget that they're a person too. And they were a person before they became a spouse, and they were a person before they became a mother or an employee for that company. And they have to find themselves and what they enjoy doing. And it's, for some people, it's crafts. For some people, it's reading. Some people, it's hiking. Some people, it's flying. You know, just whatever they enjoy doing, they've got to find that and start doing it.
And it's so hard for some people. I know now, you know, I'm at that age. My son just graduated from college. So I have friends that are either their kids are just graduating or they're just starting college. You know, we're in that kind of age range there. And a lot of, you know, really close friends of mine, you know, gave up their entire careers and haven't held a job in over 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's hard. It's a hard thing because now all of a sudden the kids are gone. Now what? Right? And it's that finding that purpose. And that can be really challenging for some people, especially if you've had more than two kids. You know, you get to the higher numbers of children, three and four. I mean, you're talking, you know, years and years of where your whole life is just revolves Absolutely. Around your children. Coming from the mental health industry and now, you know, working with families that are having to rebuild and start over, what advice can you give for that person that devoted their whole life and now they're, now what? What do I do now?
Well, the person, sometimes women in particular, find it beneficial to spend time with their grandchildren or start coming up with ideas for time with their grandchildren when they get to spend time with their grandchildren. Or if there's no grandchildren, maybe they volunteer at their church or any, you know, the Head Starts or some kind of program to play with children. So that way they can feel like they're using the skills that they know they have. For the woman that hasn't worked outside the home, maybe that kind of job is something that they would enjoy doing because then they get to do the things they've lived their life doing. Or, you know, some of them financially, maybe they could become a bookkeeper because they have been, maybe they've been keeping the household books or managing their husband's business. Or, you know, these are things that I find the women have been doing. The men had businesses and the women were the bookkeepers. Well, maybe they need to start a bookkeeping business. And that's a skill they don't realize they've got. And they could get certifications in it and other things that would help them keep their time busy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's important. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about is the children, because children, more often than not, are the ones that get shortchanged in a divorce if it's not done in a healthy way. What advice can you give to parents who are contemplating divorce to think about before they take that big step? To think about the children, like what can they do to ensure that the children are not going to be damaged as a result of this divorce?
The big thing is not to talk negatively about the other the other parent. People forget that to a child that both parents are everything. So when you say negative things about the other parent, then you're hurting that child because you're hurting somebody they love. And it's a personal thing for them. You're hurting them personally. So to say bad things about them is not helping anything. And if they come to you and they're saying bad things about the other parent, be willing to listen to them, but do not encourage it. Just be a support and a sounding board for them and help them with whatever issue they've got. Of course, if it gets to abuse or or neglect or whatever, then you've got to address those issues. So you want to make the child feel heard, but don't attack the other parent.
You bring up a really good point, because we all can remember a time when you're in this, you know, on the playground and somebody says something about your mama or your papa, right? When another, right? And it's not okay if another person says something about your mom or your dad.
Right.
Right. Just as a parent, you know, I'm the fiercest mama bear on the planet. You know, you say something, you hurt my kid, you're going to have, you know, there's going to be a price to pay.
Right.
Right. The same is true if one parent is talking to a child about the other parent, right? It's the same thing. Right. Yeah. And I hope people are hearing that, because you're hurting your child if you talk badly about their father or their mother.
Right. Another thing that I find that they need to consider is the child when they're talking about a parenting plan. It's so easy for the person, for the parent to want, I want my child with me. Well, the other person wants the child with you. And I find women believe the child belongs to them. It's my child. And they don't think of the man as having rights, but they do. But both sides have to consider what this child wants. Because if you've got a child that you're dragging back and forth, they never know where they're going to be. Where is this Tuesday? Am I at mom's? Am I at dad's? You know, where's my stuff? Where's my books? Oh, I'm in trouble because I forgot my backpack at dad's. And but it just happens, because I have problems keeping my stuff together. And for child who's going from this house to that house, it becomes even more confusing. And if the parents will work together when they're doing these exchanges, it makes it less stressful for the child. They just need to, you know, maybe it's a checklist. Have we got this? Have we got that? You know, if somebody forgets something, it's okay. You can get it. Just fix it. Don't make it the child's fault.
Oh, such a great point, because folks, I know I've said this before, because I had somebody on sometime this year. I spoke to another person about this same topic. And I think sometimes as adults, we forget that these kids, children only have one chance at being a child. They don't get a second shot. You know, going through a divorce as an adult, you have a second chance at finding your love, or finding that person that will respect you, or finding that person that, you know, is your true soulmate. And the first one maybe didn't get it right the first time, but you have a chance at having that in your future. And the children don't have a chance at another childhood. And if there's anything this conversation I wanted to make sure we really hit home in is, think about the children. You know, put your own ego, your own hurts, your wants, your needs, your desires, all of that stuff doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
The children are what matter, because this is it for them. It's going to make or break them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else that you think is important for the audience to know that I didn't bring up today, Rhonda?
Just to remember that this is only a blip in time. When you're going through a divorce, this is a blip. Whether it takes 3 months or 2 years, it will be over with and you'll move on with your life. And it's only a fragment of your life. So just make sure that you don't make your focus so focused the divorce. Yes, you've got to do the things you need to do and get the work done that you need to get done, but make sure that you realize this isn't your life and it's just a drop, and you need to be the person you need to be during it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know, you got to take care of yourself and take care of your kids and everything else, and life will continue, right? All right. Well, Rhonda, thank you so much. Folks, I'm going to have all of Rhonda's information so you know where to check her out. And it'll be her Facebook page. And thank you all for listening today. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you. You have a great day.
All right, you too, and everyone, may you and your family be happy and healthy, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.